guys, it is Lindsay, and I'm back again with another episode of Sunday Scaries. Last week, we started reading a series called My Romantic Cabin Getaway, and we read parts 1 and 2. Today, we're going to be doing parts 3 and 4. I do just want to mention there are mentions of suicide and death and other dark content in this, as well as just some really creepy depictions of things that I have never read anywhere else. So I hope this creeps you out as thoroughly as it creeped out me. And just as a little recap before we dive in, when we left our two main characters, Faye and Felix, in chapter 2, they were kind of being rescued by her dad, who drove up the mountain to get them, and now they are back at Faye's parents' house. So without further ado, let's dive back into part 3. So that night, we sat down with Faye's mom, Laura, in her bedroom while her dad was watching the news downstairs. Her mom was so upset at the stories we told her. I mean, she was visibly disturbed to the point of being in tears. She kept apologizing to Faye and hugging her. Laura told us that they'd purchased that cabin from their good friend, Jennifer, I think, who moved to Nevada about 20 years ago. And that Jennifer and her husband had complained about all sorts of weird experiences while living there. Her husband, Tom, like myself, was fond of hiking and exploring the woods, and collected tons of arrowheads and other neat trinkets he'd found on his travels around Pike's Peak. But Jennifer started having dreams about Tom being dragged off into the woods from their bedroom. She had all kinds of horrific nightmares about him being skinned and pinned up in the trees like some kind of macabre artwork. Jennifer said that while Tom was at work, she would occasionally hear the voice of her daughter, who died in childhood of some kind of bone cancer, calling "Mommy?" from the edge of the forest. Jennifer's doctors claimed it was the medication she was on and changed her meds. Tom got a new job in Vegas and they basically noped out of there. On a lighter note, Tom hanged himself in the garage 2 years after they moved. No note or anything. Anyway, Laura, Faye's mom, and Greg, Faye's dad, only used the cabin as a getaway in the summers. Laura never experienced anything beyond weird feelings while she was there, and she chalked that up to all the crazy stories Jennifer had told her. Greg, however, who suffers from PTSD-related nightmares occasionally, experienced exacerbated sleep disturbances in the cabin. Over the years, he became reluctant to go there, and claimed that all of the things he'd seen in Vietnam came back to him when he slept there. Allegedly, some of the people he saw get killed would come back to talk to him in his dreams at the cabin. The last time he stayed there, he woke up in a dream to find a few of them sitting in his bedroom with him, maimed, rotted, etc. He privately maintained to Laura that he also heard their voices in the forest, crying, begging, screaming for their mothers. Oh, and guess what time he always heard them? Laura told us that she honestly did not believe there was anything really wrong with the cabin. Faye was extremely pissed and let her have it. They kind of ended our visit on a bad note. Later that night, I was up reading, and Faye was sleeping next to me. She always falls asleep before me. That girl could fall asleep on a pile of rocks. She started mumbling in her sleep, so I listened carefully, and here are a few things I heard her say. Never. Never, 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 no. I wouldn't. On the mountain. I can't. Why? His name? We don't know you. No, it's Felix, my name. About 2 hours later, she woke me up by nudging me in her sleep and saying, "Tell the man in the hall to leave." This sent me over the edge, so I got up to go to the bathroom and get some water. I didn't find anything strange. I had a very hard time falling back asleep, though. This morning, we heard back from the guy who went up to the cabin to check it for gas leaks and carbon monoxide, at the behest of a few scrupulous Redditors. The guy mentioned that radon is a really big problem in some of these old places in the mountains. He's some kind of super badass handyman with all kinds of equipment, so he wrangled up one of the peak rangers, and they went up to the place together. Apparently, there were tracks all around the house. A dozen pairs of them. Like a large group of people had been wandering around looking in the windows. All of the windows and doors were sealed the way we left them, but when they got inside, some stuff was moved around. The silverware drawer was emptied onto the kitchen floor and turned upside down. The power was completely dead. The weirdest thing was that there was water all over the bed and on the floor, but our guy checked for leaks in the ceilings and the bathroom pipes. Nothing. Nothing had been stolen from the house, not even food. Some of the old clothes in the bedroom closet were strewn on the ground, but nothing stolen. Like maybe someone was trying them on or smelling them? The ranger said that there were legends about the mountain. Something about things that sort of act like people, but they come out of the old abandoned mines. Greg's friend couldn't remember the name the ranger gave them. It was in a native language. I asked Greg to ask the ranger about the sounds I heard, specifically the
"Watch you, watch you, watch you, oh my, oh my."
And he said it's a widely recognizable chant, but he doesn't know what it means. Anyone here have any idea? No radon, no carbon monoxide, and no gas. The place is all electric. He checked for mold, but said it was unlikely that there would be any all the way up there. He did say it's possible that there's some kind of electrical problem, and that this can sometimes cause people to feel very unsettled and maybe have hallucinations. He has some kind of Geiger counter or a gadget that detects issues like this, but it was broken when he tried to use it. I'm gonna keep a close eye on Faye. She's still shaken up about all this. If there's anything left to report, I'll let you know. Update, 4/21/2016. We've begun hearing voices outside of our home. Faye is really upset and feels that I might have exacerbated these strange circumstances by giving them widespread exposure online. I'm gonna go dark for a few days and see if that helps. Don't worry about us. We have a few close friends looking out for us. They know the entire story. Hi everyone. I just wanted to make a quick update as promised because Faye and I are flying back to California shortly. Faye is back to normal, feeling great. I watched her eat a huge plate of chicken parmesan yesterday. The first thing I should mention is that Faye's father was very reluctant to talk about the cabin or the weird experiences we'd had there. He kept trying to change the subject and was generally in a bad mood, which is pretty normal for him. He's a really grumbly Vietnam vet and has been in the army since he was young. His personality is exactly the way you'd imagine it. Faye asked him bluntly, "If something is wrong with that cabin, why would you let us go up there in the first place?" And his response? "Talk to your mother." Chapter 4. Faye and I flew back from Colorado on Wednesday afternoon. She slept the entire flight, despite the noise, which amazed me. I can't sleep on planes because I'm absolutely terrified of flying. I'd rather stay another night in that cabin. When we got home, I ordered a pizza, and she wolfed it down. Her appetite has returned in full force, which is great news. I mentioned this in my original post, but Faye has an undiagnosed sleep disorder. She has pronounced night terrors, sleep talking, and occasional sleepwalking. This disorder lies dormant 90% of the time, but it tends to flare up when she's under a lot of stress. If we're moving, if she's changing jobs, or if a relative dies, I can expect a night of horrifying talking and odd behavior. Needless to say, our experiences at the cabin have set Faye on edge. Although she's in high spirits, she's still afraid at night. I am too. That night after pizza, she fell asleep on the couch while we watched Wedding Crashers. At around 10 p.m., the movie ended and I turned the TV off. As I brought our plates to the kitchen, I passed by the stairwell and heard a faint noise from upstairs. It sounded like a man sighing. I shrugged it off and woke Faye up. We brushed our teeth and went to bed. Faye talked in her sleep a lot that night, and it started about 1 a.m. I woke up to her calling out, "What did you do? And do you need help?" And laughing. This isn't really unusual for her. She babbled occasionally, said a few funny things, etc. I woke up again around 4 and heard her talking. But this time, she was doing something she's never done before. We've been together for almost 5 years, and not once has she ever whispered in her sleep. But now she was whispering with her back turned to me. For a second, I thought someone was lying on the floor at her edge of the bed, talking back to her. This disturbed the shit out of me, so I sat up and leaned over, trying to listen in the dark. The only thing I heard her say discernibly was, "Shh." I asked her, "Faye, what are you talking about?" And she didn't respond. I said, "Who are you talking to?" And she replied, "Don't," and nudged me. Another unusual thing happened. At about 5:45, I woke up to Faye getting back into bed. She hurried into the bedroom from the hall and got back into bed quickly, making zero attempt not to wake me. First of all, Faye does not get up ever. She sleeps like a dead horse, and even if she went to the bathroom in the middle of the night, which she never does, the bathroom is not down the hall. It's in our bedroom. When I asked her what she was doing the next morning, she claimed to have no memory of it. I spent all day Thursday thinking about why Faye was still acting weird. I was the one who found the dream catcher and got close to it. I was the one who interacted with the voices at the cabin. And then I remembered something. On our last night in Colorado, at her parents' house, Faye got back into bed at around the same time, 5:45 a.m. I barely remembered because I was half asleep, but the image returned to my head. She's been getting up really, really early for a few days. So last night, I set my phone's alarm to vibrate, and I put the time to 4:45 a.m. In the middle of the night, Faye started talking again. This time, she was doing the same thing she did at the cabin, changing her voice to sound like someone else. In 5 years, she sleep-talked a bunch, but she has never whispered or changed her voice until recently. She said a few things which I tried to commit to memory. Flat. Monotone. So, more like a sharp exhale, followed by day-on, or tail, over and over.
He's still in the trees.
He's still in the trees.
Where were you?
Where were you? I looked for you, and it's time. About the same time, I heard a noise outside, which sounded like an old man grumbling to himself about something. We live in NorCal, in a really woodsy town, so when you look out our bedroom window, there are tons of trees across the street. It was very dark, but I'm fairly certain I saw a man walking behind the first line of trees. He was too far away to be the one grumbling, but it is very unusual to see anyone over there this time of night. In fact, I've never seen anyone there at night, ever. Looking outside required me to open the curtains, which lit up our room with moonlight. When I looked back at the bed, Faye was lying there with her neck craned toward me, her eyes crazy wide and fixed on me, and her mouth was open. She issued this really frightening, gurgly, drawn-out groan and flicked her tongue around. It looked like an epileptic fit in slow motion. Faye has definitely opened her eyes in her sleep, but never like this. She looked like a fucking murderer. I got so scared I called her name really loud and woke her up. She was confused and asked me why I was at the window. I lied and said I was just closing it because it was cold. I didn't want her to know I'd heard a voice. We talked a bit, but I'll skip that because this is getting long. My alarm woke me up at 4:45 a.m., and I laid there, awake, waiting for Faye to get up like she had been the past few nights. She breathes very rhythmically when she's asleep, so I can always tell how deep she's under. At around 5:20, she sat straight up, swung her legs out of the bed, and tiptoed down the hall. I followed behind. When I say that my fiancé tiptoed, I don't mean like a child on Christmas Eve. This was robotic, alien, inhuman. She looked and moved like a meth-addicted ballerina zombie down the hall and stopped at the stairwell. Her breathing never changed. I just stood there in our bedroom, poking my head out into the dark hall. Faye looked down the stairs, still standing rigidly on the balls of her feet, swaying to and fro slightly. And then she did some weird shit. She touched her face slowly for several minutes, touched the banister, touched the wall, flicked the light on and off a few times, all the while maintaining her perfectly regular coma-like breathing. And then she reached an arm out in the motion of a bicep curl, stretching her fingers and wiggling them, and then curling them, her hand and her arm, back up to her face. I watched her do this motion for about 4 minutes. It looked like she was testing the limb as if she'd never used it before. But then I realized she was actually communicating with someone on the first floor of the house. She was making a come-hither motion. With full confidence that Faye was sleepwalking, I walked into the hall and leaned over the half wall that overlooks the living room. It was totally dark down there. I couldn't see anything but the clock on the cable box. Faye stood there, waving, smiling, making gestures, and then touching her face and pulling gently on her hair. I carefully ushered her back to bed and talked to her softly, trying not to actually wake her. She didn't resist, she never does, and went back to sleep without another word. I have zero clue what the fuck is going on. I told her this morning what she did, and now we have a doctor's appointment for her at 3 p.m. today. So, I know this one was a little bit shorter than last time. That was parts 3 and 4. When I tell you guys that when he turned around from the window and saw her like that, just her actions and then what she was doing in the hallway, I mean, I get full body chills. Like, that is the creepiest thing I've ever read in my entire life. So I hope that you guys are sufficiently freaked out. I've read through this several times and I'm still like looking over my shoulder over here. So I hope that you guys all have an amazing work week. And I mean, we're all going to go out there. We're going to kill it. We're going to make our money and we're going to come home and relax and maybe listen to more scary stories. Champ and I believe in you. We got this. Stay spooky, guys.